Evangelism 20:20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. The Great Commission is the last instruction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to his disciples before his ascension to heaven. It is recorded in all four Gospels, what we have read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16, Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 48, and John chapter 20, verses 21 to 23, and a fifth time in the record of practice in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord wants us to know his heartbeat is for the lost souls in this world. And he has a plan to use his people to be his instruments. The Great Commission is the first command of Christ to the church. And it is summarized in two commands given to us in our text in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. The first, in Matthew 28, verse 19, the word there, which means to make a disciple of someone, or to evangelize, to instruct, to cause someone to become a follower of Christ. That's the word to teach. It's a command that is given here in the Great Commission, that we are to make disciple of someone, or we are to evangelize, we are to instruct, we are to cause someone to become a follower of Christ. How have you been doing in this endeavor to fulfill the last instructions of our Lord to you this year of grace 2019? Well, we are drawing to the close of the year, and the Lord is saying to us, there is work for us to do. And he says also, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 15, you would turn there. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Our Lord Jesus gave these instructions to his disciples. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Preach the gospel to every man. God wants us to go with a message of instruction. Go with the gospel. There is a mission's emphasis in the Great Commission. The Lord wants you to be on the go. So I have three thoughts for you today. Go, gather, and graft. Go, gather, and graft. What do you mean to graft? Well, this word was borrowed from Paul's words in Romans chapter 11, whereby he described the church as being grafted into the rich olive tree. We as a Gentile, as Gentiles, being grafted. In other words, we are being joined to partake of the richness of the blessing of God. So what are we to do? Well, we are first of all to be blessed of God. And when you have been blessed of God, he says to you, that we are to go about blessing the people around us. So here, to graft, so that others may be grafted in to partake of the richness of the blessings that God has to impart, or that God can impart to us, life everlasting. And, you know, in this text is given to us the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, so wonderfully given to us because He has risen from the dead. Ah, that's the greatest truth, that He has conquered death for us on our behalf. He has died and He has rose again from the dead, or He has risen from the dead. And He's speaking these words of triumph, of victory to you. Do you close this year on a very sad note? Or do you close this year on a high beat of life within you? Because God has imparted through Christ the power of the resurrection life to you. I say to you that unless God would energize you with His power and His life, there is no life in us. But if He were to energize you, then the Lord is going to use you to be a channel, an instrument for righteousness' sake. In other words, God is going to use you as a human instrument to do His will. Now, we have been taking a long time, the whole year, to study the epistles, the epistle written by Peter. What was Peter saying to the church? That you may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That your life may be made pure, made pleasant, so that your life would be fragrant and like a magnet, like a perfume. There is a fragrance that would attract and bring others to God. And we have spent time speaking about the virtues that God has, that we must receive, and He would impart to us, and we would grow in them. And that life that God gives us may be an influence. If you are a father, then you have an influence upon your own children. If you're a husband, you're a wife, you have an influence over your husband, over your wife. If you are sent to work in a certain workplace, you have a witness for the Lord, where He has placed you. And that life that God gives to us, He tells us, is to be imparted. And therefore, the Lord seeks that you would grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have been taking time to meditate and study upon the Word of God, then that life would have come to you. Suddenly, you are energized. Right, over the last few weeks, we have several in our congregation who has come to us and said that, "I would like to do something for the Lord. I would like to share the gospel to someone." How can we do that? Well, I said, wow, praise the Lord that He has energized you with His power. And so the Lord has sent them forth, and the Lord has given them the grace to do something for Him. Of course, they did face certain kind of a, well, discomfort to some that they have met. But the Lord also gave them the grace to say that they are an ambassador for the Lord. That's our memory verse. What does it say? It says here, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. In other words, you are an ambassador, you are a representative for God, and that God is using you to persuade men that they may be reconciled to Him, to be reconciled to our God, to our Maker, to the source of life, Jesus Christ. Have you thought about it this way? That there are people around us who are not receiving life from God as they ought to have. They have physical life, but not spiritual life. Life with God. We were praying last week, may God be merciful to grant us good weather so that we would be able to walk to our destination at the family day. Well, that morning, it was a little bit cloudy. But it didn't rain for the whole day. It didn't rain also the next day when we were here for worship. How we praise the Lord. How that life God imparts to us. Even the heavens would hear our prayer. Wow, what a wonderful demonstration of this life with God. Right? That God answers prayer. That you speak to Him privately in secret, and He answers it openly from heaven to you. And so He says to you to go. To go with the gospel. Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He tells us that we are to take that step to go. And I can tell you that you need to pray to ask God to grant you that strength, even to go across the street and share with someone and not fear. Take away the lethargy. Take away the fear. Take away the hindrances. You see, this is the life that God has imparted to His people, that we may impart life through Him. And He's asking you to be involved in the gospel endeavor. As I said, it's not my work, but it's our work. It's not me who go, of course, we have to set the example. But the church has to be mobilized. The people of God has to go. Then the empty pews will be filled. Even the second floor can be filled. The people of God must be energized. What is causing us to be inward looking, to be happy with our fellowship here? Of course, we said we can be happy and we ought to be happy with our fellowship one with another. But the point is this, that we are called to a greater purpose. One after 1,000, two were chased 10,000. That's divine mathematics. And God wants to use us. And God has that purpose for the advancement of His kingdom. And I can tell you that when our Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, when He began this work, opposition began to come. Opposition comes, persecution comes from every quarter. So much so that finally He would be betrayed and He would be crucified upon the cross. But that is the gospel challenge. But what did Jesus say to His people when He commissioned them? Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and the earth." And what did He say in verse 20 after He pronounced or He gives the commission to you? "I am with you all the way. I am with you all the way. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." In other words, when you are doing the will of God in fulfilling His purpose for His honor, for His glory, He's going to aid you with His presence, with His power, and He's going to aid you so that you would have that strength to fulfill His will. The instruction to go has a, what we said, an imperative force. In other words, it's a command. From the text that can be learned from the word, to make disciples or to teach. In other words, you go and teach. That going is a command that says to His, that Jesus gives to His disciples, that must first be fulfilled. You must go. And it's interesting that that verb itself is in the passive. In other words, it is a verb that has to be acted upon. What is it that drives you to His service for His glory? It is the Spirit of God that would energize you. And how does it come? When we would repent of our sins. When we would make right with God. God can't use us if we are not walking right with Him. But God can use us when we make right with Him. When we repent of our sins. Then God can use us. And the passive voice means that the subject being acted upon by someone, we said, and we identify the agent of the action to the Holy Spirit in Matthew 28 verse 20. Lo, I'm with you always. What did Jesus say after he would ascend to heaven? He says that I would send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit in you that will comfort you, and He will be with you so that you may impart life to the people around you. Jesus says in John 16 verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. This is the work that the Holy Spirit will do when He sends you forth. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. God use you as an instrument for righteousness. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You know, you are the only one on earth that has the power to overcome the temptations of the evil one. Satan, the devil, God has freed you through Christ, through the blood of Christ, He has freed you from the stranglehold of the devil. And you are the only one with that power to proclaim the gospel and to invoke the power of God to defeat Satan. And so, you have a great mandate that God gives to you. The power of the darkness of this world cannot prevail against you, because the Spirit of God that is in you will use you for His honor, for His glory. And an example of the Holy Spirit's guidance in fulfilling the Great Commission is in the account of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8:29. Will you turn there? Acts 8:29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. The finance minister of Ethiopia has come to town. And this obscure person by the name of Philip, God will use to influence the continent of Africa. You know, the centurion that was saved from the European continent, from the Italian band. But this, the gospel going to Africa for the first time, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. The passive nature of the verb go in Matthew 28:19 has its significance, we said, theologically speaking, in that it is not self-led, but Holy Spirit-led. There is that dependence upon the Holy Spirit for every move. That is why we say to you, gather for prayer. Wednesday night, we ask you to come and pray first. God guide us. If you will not pray, you will not seek the Lord, how can there be power? So it is the Spirit of God that triggers and directs in the proclamation of the gospel. And if you look at the book of Acts, there will be many scattered accounts on the dependence upon the Holy Spirit to accomplish the great commission for our pattern. And Philip, the evangelist, is one example. Then said the Spirit unto Philip, go near and join thyself to that chariot. And Philip ran hither to him. He did not walk. He ran, and he heard him read of the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Where was he reading? What was he reading? Well, he was reading exactly that portion, Isaiah 53. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? How can a person know God, except someone would guide? This is the ambassador's role that God has called you to do. As though God did beseech you by us, right? Paul and his preaching band were the instruments whom God used to persuade the man, to draw the man. The place of the scripture, verse 32 of Acts chapter 8, which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they came on the way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they were came out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. God used Philip to share the word, and that word came with power. You see, you just have to point men to Christ. That is it. Have you done that? Well, may I say that we come to the knowledge of God through Christ because someone has done that. Someone has done that for me. Right? He opens the scripture and said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. And I understood. Did He have some power to impart life to me? All He did was to read the Scriptures. And I could understand. This is the Lord of the earth. In Him was life. And the life was the light of all men. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Oh, how powerful is the statement there. In Him was life. Life comes through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Look at the flower. How beautiful is the flower. Look at the leaf changing its colors in the seasons. How beautiful. The flower, the leaves, the creation, even the birds. There was not anything that was made without Him. In Him was life. Wow. This is what the Lord is saying to us. The Great Commission is not a blind charging, going aimlessly, but rather a Spirit-led journey. The Christian is sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and obeys in immediate action as Philip did in Acts chapter 8, 26 to 40. The agent of the good news, as described by the Apostle Paul, is but all of us here. He says in Romans 10, verse 13 to 15, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Wow! You call upon the name of the Lord and you can be snatched from hell and transported to heaven. And how shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? So we say to you, we're going to have our Evangelism 2020 class later in the Sunday school. How can they go except they be sent? Well, we're going to send you. You're going to go for the Lord. As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." In other words, the gospel is for you. And you would notice the spread of the gospel came because 5,000 were saved, 3,000 were saved, and these 5,000, these 3,000 were energized by the Holy Spirit. So that within several decades, the entire Roman Empire is permeated with the gospel. How possible? Except the people of God become serious. God would open their spiritual eyes. God would wake them up. Sometimes it's through chastisement. Sometimes certain happenings that comes in a person's life that causes a person to wake up and understand the gravity of the issue and know the work that God has entrusted to us. And so the Lord is saying to you that you have a mission. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, even so sent I you." John 20:21. And the word sent, the first word sent there, is what we call the perfect tense. It presents action that has reached its termination and existing in its final result. The Father has sent me. God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And He has accomplished His work upon the cross. Done. But there is a work that is still not done. Even so, send I you. This second word there, sent, denotes in the present tense a continuous, linear kind of action. In other words, it is an enduring, it is a binding commission. What has begun in the past continues in the present. In other words, that sending continues. And you are sent. God has sent you. And God wants you to hear that message and be sent. As thou, the Father, has sent me into the world, Jesus says, John 17:18. Even so have I also sent them into the world. So two by two, He sent them. He sent the 70, He sent the 12, He sent them out. So that they would be busy doing the Lord's business, fulfilling the will of God. The Lord says to us that we are entrusted with this mediatorial ministry of reconciliation, which we have said in our memory verse. Right? We are given that word of reconciliation, which is the gospel, that men may be reconciled to God. And, you know, we have that blessed privilege, and we also have this solemn responsibility to preach the gospel of God in all the world and bring within reach of every hearing and believing heart the possibility of experiencing forgiveness of sins and a new life. And so the Lord says to you that you are to go and you are to gather them. Not just to go, to bring them in, but to keep them together. To gather them. Jesus says in verse 19, go ye into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In other words, we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is our identity with the triune God. That you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We have those who will be going to be baptized the last week of this month, and God has prepared them. The gospel has been preached to them, and they have received. And so the Lord is saying to us here that we are to gather them. Gather them for worship. Bring them together. So what are you doing in the gospel endeavor? Some would provide transport help. Some would provide assistance in one way or another, to bring someone, to call someone, to continue to call, to encourage them to come. Right. You see, the gospel work, the work of grace, is not a one day, one time work. It's continuous, it's ongoing, and you need to be energized by the Spirit of God in order that you would continue this good work, this great work. You know, you're going to impact life for eternity, and God is saying to you that what you do will have an eternal impact and purpose. And God wants you to know and be in the work of the gospel. And I can tell you that if you want to be involved, wholly involved, then opposition will come. And opposition will come from every angle you can think of. Even to tear this church apart. But God is merciful. And God is saying to us that we must not be afraid. And we must not fear. And we must not be intimidated to stop. And I can tell you that we faced it here. But we are not stopping. And we are not going to stop. Because there are still many empty seats. I was told that this place can fill up 300, 400, even 500. Well, that's our challenge. 2020. Not only to go, but together. We have some idea of what it means to gather. Right? Gathering and scattering. Right? We have some idea, some level of experience, we may say. But the work here, the commission from the Lord is that we are together. Continue together. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And teaching them to observe all things, to graft. In other words, to help them to grow. Not just to bring them in. That's a great challenge. But that's the commission that the Lord has given us. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Can we feel tired? Of course. When you are tired, you rest. When you rest, you are energized. When you are energized, you go. God enables. God leads. And the Lord is saying to us, don't give up. The Lord is saying to you, that you must rise to the occasion. You, all of you, of course, including me, all of us, Should we be intimidated? Should we be discouraged? Should we fear? We must not. Because the rewards is great. The stakes are high. Do you think the Lord built the MRT here, just outside our doorstep, for no reason? Have you ever thought of that? 3 years. Right, we could hardly get in. I remember one of the nights when we had our watch night service. 3/4 of the door was to drive in was blocked because the work was in full construction. It was dark. But look at it now. What grace the Lord brings to us. Right at the doorstep. And so we have printed new invitation cards. 8,000 for a start. We have revised it, updated it. 8,000. And we ask you to take them and go. And I can tell you that you would face opposition again. And I cannot say what that opposition will be. How great it will come. But we know it will come. But what did Jesus say to his people? Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And I'm with you all the way. Do you have that assurance? The Lord wants us to be reminded of that assurance so that we will not fear, so that we will not be intimidated. When the church was asked to pray, right, you see this in our weekly pastoral article. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall receive power, the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. When you receive that power, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And that root word there, power, dunamis, means to be enabled, to be imparted with divine strength, power. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses. What is it that God asks that his church will be? His witnesses. We are to be his witnesses. We are to testify. Right? A witness is one who testify to a certainable facts. Matthew 26:65. One who testifies to something. Romans 1:9. One who declares facts directly known to himself. That is from first-hand knowledge, Acts 1:22. And from first-hand experience, Hebrews 12:1. And one who tells what he believes, even though it results in his being killed for it. That's a witness. The word there means a martyr. A martyr. Easier said than done. But done it must be. And so the Lord is saying to you that you have a work. And we are in this work of the gospel in the 21st century, as a 21st century Christian, Surely our Lord's return is very near, nearer than we think. And yet the exact timing is not revealed. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. The signs of the Lord's return looms in the horizon, right? The last few years. The alternate lifestyle, today it's here and present. Jesus says, my return is imminent. May we not slumber? May we not slumber like the virgin that were without oil? Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Revelation 22, verse 12. Will the Lord tarry? Is He not coming again? He has promised you His Spirit. And He's saying to you to go. Go, gather, and graft. Graft them in so that they may partake of the goodness. The goodness that you have experienced in yourself. And how can we do so? Give of our time. Give of our resources. Give of ourself. Surrender our life to Him. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for giving us this great commission and the desire for evangelism 2020. May Thou seal our desire with the empowerment of Thy Holy Spirit, that Thy will may be done for Thy honor and for Thy glory. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.